may all that I say be to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today I read an account from one of my priest friends who, about a year ago at this time, was undergoing a move in his life. He was moving from Roanoke, Virginia, rather, to be the dean of the cathedral in Houston, Texas. And this created for his family about a 6 or 7 month separation. And he didn't get to see his wife and two kids all of that much. And one of the last times where this had just kind of dragged on and on and on was this time last year during the Easter season. And they had come to visit him in Houston, and they had been apart for a good long while. And Easter and all that surrounded it, of course, for him was very busy, but it was also joyous because they were all together. But Easter night, he had to put them all back on a plane. And as his 8-year-old daughter grabbed a hold of him, thinking that these goodbyes just seemed like they were eventually just going to be forever, grabbed him tight and said, "I just feel like sometimes I'm never going to see you again when we leave like this." And he wanted to comfort her. He wanted to have something to say, and yet he just knew that the words would never convey the amount of love that he had for his family. And over the months, he had tried to say everything that he could say, and yet the words simply were never enough to give his family what they needed at that time. And he reflected on the fact that this is kind of like Jesus. In John's Gospel, there's something called the farewell discourse, and by the end of it, you wonder, my gosh, that's the longest farewell I've ever heard in my life, because it's 5 chapters in John's Gospel. You heard just a very, very little piece of it just a second ago. And you're getting the sense that, you know, Jesus has a hard time saying goodbye. But of course, he does. Because he's trying his best to give his disciples something to know how much he loves them. He knows the hard walk that he's going on. He knows the dangers that are going to come after them. And he knows that he's going to depart from them in the way that he's been with them, be with them in a new way, but he worries after them. He loves them, and he hates this farewell. And finally, after 5 chapters of trying to tell them how much he loves them, he decides that the words are just never going to be enough. And so he decides to show them. And thus he kneels down and takes on the position of any servant in the household and washes the dirty feet of men who walked on dirty roads all the time without their sneakers. And shows in that moment, although he was who he was, what love is to look like. I talk all the time about the fact that in our culture, we are desperate to actually have a Christian proper definition of love. It is totally lost on us. And the ways that we talk about love undermine what true love is, and they disrupt it, and they won't allow it, in my estimation, to really come into fruition. What I mean by it is when we talk about love, we generally, almost exclusively, talk about it in a passive way. I fell into love. As I've said so many times, I got struck by lightning. In other words, I'm a passive observer to love. And yet, thank God that Jesus was not passive about his love. Little wonder if we're passive about our love, as we too often are, we then say, "Oh, well, guess what? I fell out of love with you. Because I was just along for the ride, after all. I fell into love, I fell out of love, I was just kind of along for all that." And yet, for Christians, the model of love is always Jesus. And aren't you glad, as we begin this last 3 days of Holy Week, the great 3 days, really, of Holy Week, that Jesus didn't just love when he felt like it, or love how he felt like it. That he loved always in action, that his love always was almost so severe that on himself that it humbled him. I wonder where it comes from at one level, and yet I noticed just as I was reading this, and during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took out his outer robe, tied a towel around himself, and washed feet. In other words, Jesus, knowing who he was able to love. Do we know who we are? Is that why we don't love? Is because we don't really know who we are? Somebody may take too much from us. Somebody may undermine us. If our identity is not rooted as Christ was in who God said he was. Let me teach you two big words, and you can, you know, share them with your friends, and they'll marvel at you tomorrow. The first one is mandatum, which is the root word of what mande comes from. Mandatum. It's a Latin word, and it basically means commandment. And that's why we have Maundy Thursday. It's Commandment Thursday. And what is the commandment? A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And not passively, not when you feel like it. You don't fall into this sort of love. It doesn't strike you like lightning. No, it means in action, not just word. It means when the words won't work, that you still love. It means that you go even this far. And maybe how you get the courage to do all of that is that you know who you are in God. You can't be diminished by getting on your knees if it didn't diminish Jesus himself. But the second word I want you to know is anamnesis. Now that one you're going to maybe have to work on remembering, but that's actually what the word means. Anamnesis. It's the Greek word that happens every time that we quote Jesus at communion. And we say, do this in remembrance of me. What we're actually saying in the Greek is, do this in anamnesis of me. It's a word that is flatly and how it's translated, remembrance. It's why our Baptist friends only do communion every once in a while, by the way. Oh, well, you wouldn't want to do it too much. It's just about memory. It's so that you can remember it. And so, you know, you don't have to remember it all that often, because all you're doing here is, you know, kind of striking up a memory. Which I would say, well, why do you ever have to do it? Because I can remember it without doing it. But they don't understand, unfortunately, or somewhere along the line, lost the truth, that the Bible actually was not written in King James English. It was written in Greek. And what Jesus actually says in Greek is, do this in anamnesis of me. It's a word that means the opposite of amnesia. It's saying every time you knew this, you're going to remember who you are. Every time you do this, your amnesia is going to be overcome. What does it mean to have amnesia? You don't know who you are. You don't know why you exist. You just put one foot in front of the other. You don't know where you came from. Don't, therefore, know where you're going. You don't have any history, any memory, any anything, because you're full of amnesia. And what Jesus is saying is, when you do these things, when you kneel, when you serve, when you take in Him, when you walk these steps through Holy Week, that you are overcoming in your life amnesia. That anamnesis is taking place. You're remembering in the act who you are. And maybe in the Jesus, knowing who he was able to do my God, all that he did that night and in the days to follow. Maybe those of us who are trying our best to stumble along behind him as followers don't always have the words to say, don't always have the perfect memory about who and whose we are. But when we come to moments like this, and we engage and we act, that we have anamnesis, we begin to remember, we begin to know who and what we are, and that gives us the courage, like Christ in knowing who we are, to act. Which, by the way, is why we do this weird thing, even today, of foot washing in the church. You know, nobody woke up today and said, my gosh, I just can't wait to go have somebody go wash my feet. I assure you that Jessica and I didn't wake up today and say, oh my gosh, can't wait. The highlight of our day is to go and wash everybody's feet. But you know what? That's the point. Jesus also himself didn't wake up that day and go, I can't wait to wash all those guys' feet. It's precisely, absolutely the point of it all. What would be the 21st version of 21st century version of washing feet? Washing feet. And that's why we do this strange thing. It's to remember who we are. It's to remember that I'm not a title, a rector. I am a follower of the one who knelt. And so I, first of all, get to kneel. And that is precisely how Jesus wants to be. Every time I have to in this world say, well, don't you know who I am? Haven't you seen all the little letters after my name? Don't you know my pedigree? I don't know who I am. I have amnesia. But the second that I remember in doing, in participating in the life of Jesus Christ, then my amnesia is overcome, and I kneel, and I serve, and I am, because I remember that I come from the Father, and I know to him I will return.